You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you had a good weekend. I claimed. I love to clean. Not sure why. Wasn't exactly my thing when I was a kid. But now I like it. You can see the results immediately. Don't have to depend on anybody else. Yeah, cleaning's good. I did that. I cleaned. I cleaned, I repaired, I dusted, I bug bombed late last week. I think I shared that with everybody. And that's what I did. We're going to talk about the passing of Senator John McCain. Lieutenant Commander John McCain, as we know him, here today. And what an incredible life, right? I mean, no matter... No matter what you think about him, whether you agree with his politics or not, whether you liked him personally or not, John McCain crammed a whole lot of life into his time on this planet. So first of all, fair winds and falling seas to Lieutenant Commander McCain, to his family. They had the opportunity to. I think as his daughter wrote, bask in the warm glow of his star, and I don't mean star in terms of star power like we know it today. I mean just the brightness of him as a person. So, but you know, John McCain, a controversial politician. It's really interesting when you read about him. He's an interesting guy and lived an interesting life, described as maverick, described as playboy. He's the Republican presidential nominee in, 2008. And an incredible, incredible life. Whenever we lose, you know, people like John McCain, I always think it's cool to go back and, you know, and you can listen to what people say now. Wah, 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 wah. Right? But it's best to hear them in their own words. So that's what I enjoy doing. So that's what we're going to do today. I dug up audio from when he was shot down to his cellmate, and then he did a couple interesting things. There's a program called the Veterans Oral History and program, and it's somebody who interviews veterans, and they interview John McCain, Senator John McCain, one of the most famous Vietnam veterans of the war. And so, John McCain, you'll hear a whole bunch of that today. And then he did a couple of longer interviews, and I'll play those today. One is the veterans. One is the veterans. The Veterans Project. The Veterans Oral History Project. I'll get it right. And then there's and then he sat down with Brian Lamb, and you'll hear a couple pieces that he did with C-SPAN. One was on an anniversary of his own when he was shot down, and I want to say that the Vietnamese had turned the Hanoi Hilton, I want to say, into a tourist destination. And it opened it, and so C-SPAN cameras went there, and so they went and they shot the video, and then they brought it back, and so they interviewed John McCain on what his life was like there. So you hear about 9 minutes of that. And then he also does, and this is relatively recently, in 2017 he sat down with, again, with Brian Lamb, and gave his thoughts on the Vietnam War, on the 50th anniversary that was coming up. So you'll hear a bunch of John McCain today. Truly an incredible life. And so we'll talk about that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in the news, but we'll hit the pause button on that stuff today. And we will honor somebody who was a great friend of the Marine Corps, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, yesterday tweeted the following. We have lost a great leader of our nation. Senator McCain, thank you for your commitment, drive, and relentless pursuit to make our military better. We have the watch, and we will drive on to protect the nation. To the McCain family, our sympathies and your Marines are here for you. So that is that's from General Robert B. Miller, the Commandant of the Marine Corps. So the morning gets going with the national anthem. We remember Lieutenant Commander John McCain. Good morning to you. Far in terms of dedicating this. This is dedicated to Lieutenant Commander John McCain, United States Navy retired, who ultimately went on to a bit more famous career in the United States Senate. But that's not how we remember him. So, to Lieutenant Commander McCain, this is dedicated to you.
Our flag comes through to America. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose
if we have to go fight.
We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
All right, we're going to get John McCain, an interesting guy, you know, and the thing I like about him, didn't always agree with everything he did, but, one, he's a brawler, right? But he's not perfect, right, by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he's a controversial guy. Yeah. So the first question is, what exactly does maverick mean anyway? Yeah, what exactly, when you say maverick, what does that mean? we'll check the weather here, check the temperatures around Marinelands. I'm on a, like, tight schedule today. Normally I don't do it like that, so let me be true to my schedule that I made out. Clouds at 81 in Quantico right now. Camp Lejeune is 79 degrees under sunny skies on the East Coast. Partly sunny in 83 in Granbury, Texas. Montana, clouds in 50 in Big Timber, Montana. 75 degrees, so it's cooled off in the desert in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 70. We like to see it in the 60s. You should know that. Dark cloudy in 82 in Okinawa, so normal there. Afghanistan's cooled off in the Helmand province. The sun's going down, 93 degrees, so downright cold there. And in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 69 degrees. That is a look at your temperature. Looking for, listen to this, 77 today. Boom! 78 tomorrow and 80 on Wednesday. Loving it. All right, John McCain. I have a whole bunch of audio about John McCain. John McCain is born, he is a son of an admiral, he is a grandson of an admiral, and you're going to hear about that. He's actually born in the Panama Canal Zone. So the birthers, right, the birthers were out to get McCain before they were out to get Obama. Maybe they were getting them both at the same time. Huh? Yeah. McCain can't be president either. He's born in Panama. I don't recall that being as big of a deal as Barack Obama's thing. So there's some audio. The first piece of audio is you're going to hear John McCain. John McCain goes to Annapolis, right? Grows up, goes to Annapolis, Curious, he graduates 394th out of 399. So I texted a friend of mine who went to Naval Academy. I have him. I look, flawed judgment on their part. Yeah. He graduates 894th in a class of 899? I don't. How do you do that? I think you gotta not be doing very. You gotta not be doing very good across the board. So anyway, so he goes to Annapolis. He then requests to become. He's gonna be a fighter pilot, and he requests duty in Vietnam. So this is. He gets to the USS Forrestal that he's flying off of. And the Forrestal, for those of us who've been to sea, most of us have seen the movies of an incredible fire that happens on the Forrestal. In fact, she has this nickname when she was still afloat, the Firestal. That was her kind of bad nickname. He was on the flight deck when the fire breaks out. And if you've never seen this, it's some of the most amazing. Fire breaks out, I believe, as one of the aircraft is on the catapult. And it begins to engulf the flame, the aircraft. And you see firefighters, you see damage control guys headed running there, and one of the bombs cooks off. I don't know how many bombs cooked off that day, but a bunch of them did. And every time you're seeing sailors running back there to fight because they all know what fire is on a ship. So anyway, this is him being interviewed. Very old video, and it's labeled not for broadcast. It looks like he's in the wardroom of, some compartment of the Forrestal.
Around and saw another pilot who was leaving his aircraft, and he was also jumped much the same way I did, only he had got a little more fuel on him and he was on fire. I turned and ran towards him. At the same time, people were headed towards the fire with fire hoses. I then, as I headed towards him, I got about 10 feet from him, and the first bomb exploded. And this knocked me about 10 feet, and everyone who had been near me were all either badly maimed or killed from this explosion.
So it's John McCain. So that's him flying. as he's flying off the. Originally the Forrestal, and then he cross-decks over to the Oriskany to continue flying off the coast of Vietnam. He's shot down, I want to say on October 24th, 1967. And this is a broadcast that the North Vietnamese did of his voice. They called him the Prince, being the son of an active duty admiral at the time. Guys at the Hanoi Hilton had heard that the prince was coming, as the North Vietnamese called him. But here's some audio that the North Vietnamese, took from him, and actually, that they beat out of him, truth be told. It's coming. For some reason, they put the first article in the Code of Conduct up. All right, so I'm not sure if this is a slam on Lieutenant Commander McCain, but and the first article of the Code of Conduct is this. When questioned, should I become a prisoner of war, I'm required to give name, rank, service number, date of birth. I will evade answering further questions to the utmost of my ability. I will make no oral or written statements disloyal to my country and its allies or harmful to their cause. So that's what's up on the screen.
To the Vietnamese people and the government of the DRVN, from John Sidney McCain, 624-787, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, born 29 August 1936, Panama, home state, Florida, shot down on 26 October 1967, 8-4 in the aircraft. I, as a U.S. Airman, am guilty of crimes against the Vietnamese country and people. I have bombed their cities, towns, and villages and caused many injuries, even death, to the people of Vietnam. I was captured in the capital city of Hanoi while attacking it. After I was captured, I was taken to the hospital in Hanoi, where I received very good medical treatment. I was given an operation on my leg, which allowed me to walk again, and a cast on my right arm, which was badly broken in three places. The doctors were very good, and they knew a great deal about the practice of medicine. I remained in the hospital for some time and regained much of my health and strength. Since I arrived in the camp of detention, I have received humane and lenient treatment. I received medical treatment and food, even though I come here as an aggressor, and the people who I injured have much difficulty in their living standards. I wish to express my deep gratitude for my kind treatment, and I will never forget this kindness extended to me.
So that's his statement as a prisoner of war. Here's another little piece of audio. This is from Medal of Honor recipient. I want to say he's an Air Force colonel by the name of Bud Day. Okay, and listen to what he has to say. This is about John McCain. You'll hear the word. This is where you'll hear him called the Prince.
City Firehouse today as the Navy released his service records. He was awarded 17 medals and commendations as a naval airman and prisoner of war. But that is nothing compared to his roommate at the Hanoi Hilton, Colonel George Bud Day, the most decorated serviceman since Douglas MacArthur. He spoke to us at his home in Florida.
The Medal of Honor, Air Force Cross, Distinguished Service Medal, Silver Star, Legion of Merit, Distinguished Flying Cross, Bronze Stars, Air Medals, Purple Hearts, Combat Engagement Medals.
He has more than 70 medals. A living legend, he was blown out of the sky 2 months to the day before the North Vietnamese shot down a propaganda prize, whose father and grandfather were renowned American admirals.
So they told me that we were going to get a roommate, and it was going to be the Prince. So I asked my...
That's what they called him?
They called him, the Vietnamese called him the Prince. So I asked my nurse, what was his name? He said, John McCain.
He was brought in on a stretcher.
I took one look at him, and my brain instantly said, they dropped this guy off on me to claim that we let him die. He was just emaciated, very, very skinny, in this awful body cast, just... filthy. I mean, you could smell him for 25 feet.
They were held sometimes five to a cell, barely big enough for two.
Had this very gimpy knee where he busted his knee. This arm had been fractured in a couple places. He'd been bayoneted in the leg. This arm was out of the shoulder.
They were tortured mercilessly.
They roped me under the arms, tied the rope back here behind my back, ran another rope to that, got me up on a chair, threw that rope up over a rafter, jerked the chair out from under me, and your own weight just tears your body apart.
Day's broken arm was rebroken during torture so he would never fly again. McCain played physical therapist.
John said, well, we'll gather up some bamboo, and he was in a bandage on his leg at that time, so I got some little strips of bamboo about that long and about half an inch wide. Smuggled him into the room. John put his foot in my armpit and pulled on my wrist till we could get the bone force back down.
But nerve damage was extensive. His crushed hands were useless.
John would pull my fingers out straight, but they would just instantly recurl. And finally, one morning, I had just the slightest bit of movement in his hand, finger, and we both cried.
Now he has full range of movement now, but at the time he had none.
Tears started running down my eyes. Tears started running down John's eyes.
McCain's injuries left him unable to lift his arms above his chest to this day. The enemy offered their celebrity prisoner early release. When McCain refused, he was tortured more.
By any humane standard, John would have been a perfectly good candidate to release early because there were a number of people who were just enormously injured like him. But that wasn't in his playbook, and he also wasn't in his playbook to die.
In fact, he quickly became a leader.
I asked John if he would be my one of my preachers. He said, sure. So he had a great handle on the Episcopalian liturgy. He could just repeat it verbatim.
But repeating what he went through is something McCain almost never does as a presidential candidate. Day thinks he should.
I have never seen any shortcomings or any shortfall out of him talking about that. But he just doesn't trade on that. I think he feels that it's just wrong to try to trade on being a hero. But he is.
In Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Colonel Bud Day, talking about John McCain. You know, the little victories you have when that is your life, right? The little victories in terms of getting some movement back into somebody's hands. It's amazing to listen to it. Again, McCain was a boxer at Navy. His hero, Theodore Roosevelt, he very much saw himself as a fighter, guy who wasn't afraid to fight. I'm going to play you, this is a thing about lessons learned. So it's about a minute and 45 seconds. It's specifically lessons learned as a prisoner of war.
I want to switch gears here to talk about you personally. You spent 5.5 years in a North Vietnamese prison camp. It's very compelling.
And again, what's unique is that McCain, he doesn't, you know, he acknowledges that he was a prisoner of war, but as Bud Day said, he doesn't trade on it. Very interesting.
Long story. I'm curious what lessons you learned during that time that would be helpful to you as president.
Oh, I think I learned that if you're ever going to succeed in life, you should have faith in God, faith in your country, and faith in your fellow individuals. And I will always look back on that as the greatest opportunity of my life to observe 1,000 acts of courage and compassion and love. And the fact that I was able to be tested and, generally speaking, do well was because of the encouragement and love and example of people who I still to this day are my enduring heroes, and I'm not going to let them down.
You had a relationship with an Iowan, Bud Day. Tell me about that.
Toughest guy I ever knew.
How so?
Bud Day is the toughest man I've ever known. He has a Congressional Medal of Honor. Bud Day understands it. He knows what's right and wrong, and he never gave in to the Vietnamese, and he suffered severe beatings, and he almost escaped. It's a story you can't make up, and I love Bud Day as much as any man I've ever known in my life.
So you think those lessons are going to be useful to you in the
world? Sure. It puts everything in the perspective that you need about life and about what's important and what isn't. It gives you an appreciation for every single day in this magnificent nation. Every single day, I'm so grateful to God to grow up in this country.
He'll talk about the fact that I can't remember in one of these interviews that he doesn't have nightmares or doesn't go back there all the time, which is amazing. And I remember in the last year, I don't know how that statistic got in front of me. It might have been when I was reading something about Boulder Crest Retreat, and you'll hear about them this week. But And I read something, and they quoted the statistic that only 2% of the guys who came back from the Hanoi Hilton were affected by PTSD. And I heard that, and I said, what? You know, how can that be true? All right, how can that be true in God's name? And so he talks about why he thinks that number, the number I want to say is somewhere between 20 to 30% in war in Vietnam, those come back with post-traumatic stress, right? And so he offers his explanation why he thinks that number was lower out of the Hanoi Hilton. In one of these, I can't remember which one. But again, I said he's not without controversy, and we'll talk about that. But we're focusing on his military career right now. This is from Ohio, man. It was actually McCain's A4 that was hit by the Zuni rocket that was accidentally fired by the A4 on the deck. His fuel tank exploded, and he was surrounded by fire when he crawled out of the nose of the Skyhawk and jumped off into the fire. Can you imagine that? If you see the video, I saw it on the Ranger during my damage control indoctrination. And you sit there with your jaw hanging open, because they used to run this video loop of operations on the flight deck, right? So the whole thing's recorded. And you're watching this. You're watching the initial shot. You're watching the fire. So it's a fire, and they're responding to the fire when the first 500-pound bomb cooks off. It's unbelievable. Bodies flying up in the air, and then that clears, and all of a sudden you see the next wave of guys on the flight deck grabbing firefighting gear, you know, and it's to say that the room was quiet is not even accurate. It was absolutely silent watching that. I spent some time trying to unfuck people online this weekend that keep repeating the story that McCain caused a fire with a wet start that produces a fireball, and it's done, he says, mostly as a prank. The problem that the theory is that McCain's A4 was parked with the ass end hanging over the side. There was nothing behind him to be affected by the wet start if he had actually done that. I read the book on the Forrestal fire about 3 months ago. Ordnance handlers and plane handlers both bypassed separate safety procedures to speed up launch intervals. Those bypasses combined to create the perfect combination of that accidental firing of a rocket. Now combine this with the fact that some World War II era bombs had been loaded over the ship's ordnance officers and the CO's protest. These bombs were leaking fluid, highly unstable, and susceptible to cooking off much faster than good bombs, which proved fatal for 150 sailors. There's much to criticize John McCain about. I can't stand seeing bullshit thrown out there. Yeah, 150 sailors. All right, so here's John McCain in an oral okay, this is him. We'll do his oral history next, but this is him talking about his time at the Hanoi Hilton. So the Hanoi Hilton evidently opened to tourists. C-SPAN sent their cameras, and this is the video. So he's sitting in the studio with Brian Lamb. They showed the tour to McCain, and you'll hear him. He starts by chuckling because the guy running the tour says, oh, and this is where they were allowed to bathe, and this is where they exercised out here. McCain starts with a chuckle.
Nice.
edit a bit.
Yes.
First of all, the windows were all bricked over. So the only ventilation came from some small holes near the top.
So he said that that window had been there with the bars on it. That was not true.
It had been there with the bars on it, but they had just bricked it over, put bricks on it, because they kept us isolated and they didn't want us to see or communicate with each other. Second of all, there was never any bomb shelter that I saw during the two and a half years I was in that prison, nor did we ever go to any bomb shelter, because then we would have had to, obviously, be together, and they didn't want that to happen. That was true about the bathing area. There was a little, that exactly as you saw it, they would close you in, and you had a cup, and you would pour water on yourself. We bathed infrequently, and part of that was not because of any cruelty, but there was a very erratic supply of water, particularly in the summertime when they just didn't have water in the city. The large house you saw in the background a couple of times, it looked like a large building, we called the big house, and that's where we would be taken for interrogations, up to that area. And they had several rooms so that they could interrogate more than one prisoner at the same time. And that area that you saw where the trucks were under, that was not there. When we were there, it was a central courtyard that was dirt, basically, wasn't over. But the rest of it was fairly accurate depiction.
Mr. Famwa suggested that you all got together out there in the courtyard.
We never got together in the courtyard. I remember one time it was Christmas Day, and I think it was maybe 1968, Christmas Day or 69. I'm not. When they allowed each of us separately to stand outside of our cell for about 5 minutes. It was a wonderful event. So, no, we didn't spend any time out in the courtyard together. Again, not so much out of cruelty, but they knew correctly. You keep people isolated. Don't let them organize. Don't let us exercise our chain of command. You break down resistance much easier.
Do you think he's telling untruths or just doesn't know?
I think combination of both. You know, they like to, I understand the other prison now that they have got flowers all around it and it looks real nice and all that. So I think probably a combination of both. But as he said, he was not there. It was told to him by others. So. But it was a little different.
How has this changed since you were back in 85? By the way, did you go back last year to your old prison site?
I did not go back. last year. That shed had been built where the trucks were underneath was about the only change that I saw.
Which prison had the better conditions?
That one, clearly, because the cells in Wallo, the one we're going to see later on, I guess the old French-built prison, were much...
Yeah, Wallo is the one that I think, when you think of the Henry Hilton, it's the pictures of that building are the ones that I think most Americans would be most familiar with. It's a very French-looking building, old building.
Much smaller, much more tightly guarded, and we believe that they kept the people that they treated as kind of special prisoners, so they kept them in Wallo. Mine because my father was an admiral, others because they'd attempted to escape. It was a tougher environment back in the real Hilton, as we called it.
Over the 5.5 years that you were in three different prisons in and around Hanoi, how much mail did you get?
I received about 3 letters from my family. All three, when the Vietnamese were offering me release in 1968.
How many letters did you send, and how many got back here?
About 40 to 50 I sent, and I think they got about 10.
When did you come back to the United States?
1973, March 1973.
Did you have a recuperative period?
I had to go to the hospital and get an operation, actually 2 operations on my leg, and then I went directly to the National War College after that, here in Washington.
For those who have just joined us, a couple of quick things. Again, what were the 5.5 years you were in the Hanoi prisons?
Yes, I was there.
What years?
1967, 1973.
Why didn't you get out of the service when you got back?
I loved the Navy, and I was able to get back on flying status, and I was able to continue flying, which, by the way, took some skill to do, but after a certain number of years, I failed my flying physical, and so I had to get out. My physical injuries caught up with me to a large degree.
We read so much about the impact, and I've heard a lot about the impact on the individuals, the stress, the post-Vietnam stress syndrome that we keep hearing so much about. Has that impacted you at all?
It's interesting, the term PTSD is not even coined yet. The post-Vietnam stress, and Brian Lamb. Brian Lamb, first of all, is an awesome interviewer. He has smart, direct questions.
I've never had a nightmare. I've never had a flashback. I've never had any particular memories except the ones that I cherish are the friends that I made and the wonderful relationships that we forged together. I hold no bitterness nor anger, and I would attribute part of that to the fact that I was 29 years old when I was shot down and captured, and I was a professional military pilot. Many of the people that we find that have difficulties and have not, or either difficulties readjusting or not readjusted, many of them were the 18, 19-year-old young draftees who went and served and, frankly, were very badly treated on their return, in my view, and not given the welcome home which we have belatedly given them after Operation Desert Storm.
What's the legacy of Vietnam?
Never again should we go into a conflict unless we are clear in our goals and we are prepared to do what is necessary to win victory as rapidly as possible. I think in retrospect, maybe 100 years from now, it will have been good for America to define the limits of power. Up until that time, as you know, we could go anywhere, bear any burden in the world, in the words of John F. Kennedy. We understood, and I hope we continue to understand, the limits of military, use of military power, and although Desert Storm was a wonderful success, which we're all proud of, we have to be very, very selective where we send young Americans to fight and die.
We have a last bit of tape to show you. This is the Hoa Lo prison, which is in a different part of the town. What do you remember about this when you look at it?
Well, this prison that you're going to see, as I mentioned, was built in 1943 by the French, and it was well built. It has a lot of cells in it, all of them solitary cells. They're small. They have many of them have stocks on the wooden bed. They have small open little doors, peepholes for the guards to look through, and I think it would have been a very tough place to live for us, but also for the Vietnamese when the French had that prison. It is still used, I'm told, as a prison by the Vietnamese. You're seeing one of the entrances there, I believe, to the prison. And there was no exercise area or any open area like we saw in the other prison.
How many were there with you?
There was about, I think there was about 50 or 60 of us in there at one time. And then after they moved us all into large... See, this you can't tell us too much from the camera, but this prison covers a very large city block, very large city block. The part we were in were where the individual cells are. In 1970 and 71, they moved us into large cells with 40 or 50 each, which was in another part of the prison. And as I say, the large cells were quite nice as compared with the small ones.
Arizona Senator
Brian Lamb and John McCain talking about the Hanoi Hilton. The all right, there's, let's see. All right, I'm looking at the clock. The all right, let me just do a little bit of current events. The president evidently. News on a new NAFTA agreement is hitting the world, and so the stock markets are reacting. I'll tell you what they're doing now. NASDAQ has hit 8,000 for the first time as U.S. and Mexico move closer to striking a deal. So again, this is what the president's been talking about, and to me, it makes absolute sense to me that nations engage in bilateral trade agreements. Stock jumped on Monday as the United States and Mexico drew closer to a deal on NAFTA. Investors also digested reassuring comments from the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell on the central bank's policy tightening path. The NASDAQ composite climbed 0.6% to an all-time high of 8,000 as Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet, which is Google, all showed strength. So anyway, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 214 points on the news as Caterpillar was one of the leading performers. Again, Caterpillar's price, agricultural products, you can see. The S&P 500 gained the same 0.6% to hit a record high with materials and financials as part of the best performing sector. So big news is the United States and Mexico, so much acrimony over the wall and the rhetoric surrounding the wall. Big news as the United States and Mexico, the president just tweeted here recently that evidently there's a deal. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion of John McCain's life. Focus on his military life. The name of the book is Sailors to the End. The name of the book on the forestall fire that Ohio man read is called Sailors to the End. You can find it on Amazon. So we'll take a quick break. It is Monday. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Mike McNamara with you, and we're looking at the life of John McCain here on All Marine Radio. We would be most concerned specifically with his military career, but we'll talk about his political life as well. And so his military career is an incredible career. The forestall fire, amazing story, and that he was there and survived it. As I did not know, I had not read that much about the forestall fire. I didn't realize he was in one of the aircraft that day on the flight deck. I want to say it was his 20-something, mission. It was his 23rd bombing mission. He was flying an A-4E Skyhawk. It's a bad-looking aircraft, too, that the Navy flew off its carriers. So we'll take a break. More on the life of Senator John McCain. You're going to hear him talk with something called the Veterans Project. And if you've never seen it, it interviews, I think I played one from Colonel Wesley Fox when he passed away a little bit less than a year ago. And so you sit down with an interviewer, and it's pretty dry stuff as they do a documentary. I want to see if they have Senator McCain's awards at the bottom of his Wikipedia thing. Most of the time, they do. His, they do not. He has too much stuff in his. His awards include the Silver Star, the Bronze Star Medal, times 3 with Combat V, the Purple Heart, Legion of Merit, times 2 with the Combat V, Distinguished Flying Cross, Navy Marine Corps Commendation Medal with a Combat V. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. And again, on his 23rd, yeah, when you see it, here it is. Meritorious Service Medal, Air Medal with Star, Stripe Flight Numeral is 2. Obviously, the Combat Action Ribbon, Prisoner of War Medal, and then the Vietnam. But, yeah. And then he will lie in state in the nation's capital. He will also lie in state in Arizona. And then he will be buried in Annapolis. And I don't know if that's where his father and grandfather are buried, but he will, and he, the service will be at the National Cathedral, and I would think that you would see him with full military honors, which to me is always incredibly impressive as the nation rolls out the pageantry of the nation as we honor an American military hero, and certainly a man who served the nation in his capacity as a United States Senator and also the Republican candidate for president in 2008, John McCain. So we remember him. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, right after this.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.